Thank you, Malia. What a great song. Good words to that song. It would be worth it. And we want to keep on keeping on for the Lord. There are a lot of places that want to change everything, alter it. I had a sad call from a missionary this week, and he said, Pastor Monty, he said, my home church, my sending church, he said, has notified me that they are changing everything about the church. He said, I spoke to the pastor, and he said they've decided they're going to go with a contemporary music thing, said they're going to start using a modern Bible version, said they're just going to go whole hog contemporary, and they're forgetting about the old ways, said that doesn't work anymore. And the pastor said, so we just want you to know, as our missionary, we sent you out from here, but now we are changing as dramatically as we can possibly change. And that missionary said to me on the phone, he said, Pastor, he said, I need to let you know I can no longer be a member of that church. And probably, by the way, we'll become a member of this church, Lord willing, and we'll be able to have a missionary that we actually have represented from us as a sending church, which will be unique, and hopefully that will happen. Let me let you know something, Faith Baptist Church and visitors, we're not changing. We're not changing. We're not changing. Going to keep it just like it is. And I believe the Lord's blessing will rest on us if we do. We uplift Him. I'm not worried about this present culture. I uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. We're preaching His Word. I'm not trying to keep up with the latest and greatest thing that's happening in church building and culture. Not interested in that. Let's just stick by the old paths, and I think we'll find a blessing. The reason people get all messed up is they leave the old paths. But that's a whole different sermon. Your Bible is open now to 1 Peter chapter 3. Pardon me, 2 Peter. I don't know where we are this morning. Maybe I ought to just go on with that other sermon, huh? 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 in your Bible. I want us to look at verse 3. We're going to focus on that verse as our text. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, according as His divine power hath given unto us. Now I want you to notice this. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. All things. Peter says that the church has everything it needs for life and godliness. The Lord's already given us all things. We don't need to add something to that because we already have all things. Or preacher said, but what about the latest pop psychology? I don't need the latest pop psychology because I already have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the older pastor, you ought to listen to Dr. Phil. You ought not to listen to Dr. Phil. I already have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But Pastor Oprah could be such a help. I don't think so. I already have all things that pertain to life and godliness. I want you to see how inclusive that is. It means that for the Christian right now listen carefully, right now, you right now have everything you need. You have access to it. Everything you need. Oh, Pastor Monty, wouldn't it be great if you went somewhere and got a counseling degree so you could help us? Listen. I'll be happy to counsel you, but I'm only going to give you what you already hold in your hand, which is the Word of God. You already have all things, everything that you need. Look at that verse again, verse number 3. According to His divine power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. It means this, and please look this way. Right now, everything you need for every aspect of your existence, for everything that touches life, and for everything that pertains to godliness, you as a Christian, if you are a born-again Christian this morning, have access to everything that you need, and it is all there and available. Right away somebody says, okay, but Pastor, I don't feel like my needs are met. Let's give an example. Maybe someone would say, Pastor, I'm very, very lonely, and I feel daily the sting of loneliness. And I don't feel like my needs are met. Or, Pastor, I'm very depressed. And daily I feel just the weight of a huge depression upon my shoulders. Preacher, I don't think my needs are met. Now look this way, please. It is not a matter of the Word of God not being correct. Everything you need for life and godliness has already been given to you. It is not a matter of supply. But it is always a matter of your accessing the supply that is available. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, my marriage is falling apart and there's no help. Listen to me carefully. There is help for the willing heart because the supply, God has supplied everything you need for every aspect of life and for godliness. Now, I'm going to illustrate that a little further on. Let me give you some ideas. First of all, I want you to note that Jesus Christ has absolute authority over all things. Look at verse number 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. Now look this way, church. For those who are Christians this morning, for those who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they have access to the divine supply of God based upon the authority of Jesus Christ Himself. If you've been born again and trusted Christ as your Savior. Now wait. I didn't say if you're a Baptist. I didn't say that. Do you know why? There are a lot of people who go to a Baptist church who are not on their way to heaven. To be quite frank about it, your Baptist name tag is either going to fall off when you get to heaven or it's going to burn off when you go to hell. Hope you understand that. Now I'm not saying it's bad to be a Baptist. I am a Baptist. And if you're going to heaven, you might as well go first class. And I'm a Baptist. But being a Baptist doesn't get you to heaven. Having been baptized in water doesn't get you to heaven. You say, preacher, how can I get to heaven? By being good? No. That's exactly your problem. You're not good enough to go to heaven. But guess what? I'm not good enough either. Oh, now wait a minute. You're the preacher. Well, that means I'm doubly not good enough to go to heaven. And I can't make it on my own. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. Preacher, how does someone know they're going to heaven? By a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember as a young man, pardon me, when I came to the end of myself and realized that I wasn't good enough to please God and that should I die at that very moment, my sins would condemn me to an eternity in hell. I'll never forget as a young man getting down on my knees in my bedroom and praying and saying, Lord Jesus, I can't save myself. I'm trusting in You. Lord, please save me. And by the way, for anyone in here who has ever examined even to a small extent the depth of depravity in their own heart, you realize that the only hope you have is not cleaning yourself up, but it is the grace of Jesus Christ and forgiveness by God based upon Jesus Christ's shed blood. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Savior, we would say it is high time that you trusted Christ as Savior. Once you're saved, you have access to everything you need for every part of life and godliness. Christ has the ultimate authority over all things. You see, preacher, how do you know that? Because number one, He is God. His authority in verse number 3 is described as a divine power. It is not just the power of an influential individual, but it is the power of God Himself. And Jesus possesses this divine authority. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 explain that just as Jesus is the head of the church, He is the head over everything, and that God the Father has committed everything to the ultimate control of God the Son. What does that mean? Jesus is not only my Savior, He's my friend, and He is all-powerful. Look this way, please. If you're a Christian, there is not one circumstance of your life, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, relationship-wise, there is not one aspect of your life that cannot be met by Jesus Christ. I want to pause when I say something. This is very important. When you come to Faith Baptist Church, you will not hear the latest pop psychology. You're not going to hear it. I'm not going to tell you to skip out of the doors, smell the roses, and pretend everything's okay. All you have to do is read your paper and find out otherwise. Things are not okay. But for a suffering and dying world, for a world that is in depression and death and question, for a world that today is asking, how could the tragedy of the magnitude of the Minnesota bridge collapse, how could that take place? For a world that wonders about eternity, Faith Baptist Church, our message is this, that the answer, the only answer, and the forever and always answer is Jesus Christ. And He is sufficient. We today lift up Jesus Christ. It's not a Baptist church. It's not a preacher. It's not a style of worship today, but it is Jesus Christ who can meet your every need. The Bible assures us that all things were committed to the Son, and that the Son dispenses all of the things necessary for life and godliness by His power. Secondly, note this as well, though. Christ has given the church everything that she needs. Now look at it in verse number 3. Christ has ultimate authority, and He has given to the church everything she needs. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is not an unfulfilled promise. That is past tense. The gift of everything we need is already present. You say, preacher, who is it given to? Believers, the church, the body of Christ. Now listen carefully. Someone said, okay, well, pastor, if I have everything I need in Christ, then why do I go with my needs being unfulfilled? Listen, please. The church possesses now, has possessed, and will always possess everything that is necessary for life and godliness with no lack. The problem is not in the supply. The problem is with us acquiring those things. I want you to notice that the provision is complete, all things, but it is our appropriation, our receiving of these things that is lacking. Take your Bible again and look at verse number 3. And here's the secret I want you to see. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now watch this. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. There is a pathway to having all things supplied in your life. There is a pipeline through which all things can be supplied in the Christian life, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, there is a pipeline. And that is given in verse number 3. The pipeline is this: through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Back up to verse number 2. The apostle says, grace and peace be multiplied. Boy, wouldn't that be good? It's not just a matter of having a little grace and a little peace, but it's God giving you some grace and God giving you some peace, and then God takes out a heavenly calculator and He takes the multiplication symbol and He multiplies what you've been given until your cup runs over. Oh, preacher, that's the grace I need. That's the peace I need. Not just a little, but multiplied. Look at verse number 2. How do I get that? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Here it is. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Our appropriation of God's provision for us is lacking because we have not bothered to know God. It's all available, but we're not taking the proper highway to get it. We're not going to the proper conduit. Well, let me illustrate it this way. And I don't like to do this because it's so close to the dinner time hour. But I am a man who loves a good buffet. And it's not because of the amount of food, folks. I always keep myself under control, as you can tell. But it is because of the value that is attached to a buffet. Value. I've never met a buffet I didn't like, and I've never met one that I couldn't get my money's worth out of, and then some. And I like a big buffet, but once in a while, you'll take the teenagers of this church. We've got some skinny kids that need to put some meat on their bones. And you'll take them over here to the China buffet. And there's several buffet tables, and they're steaming with all kinds of Chinese food. And it's just a huge selection. And the kids go over there, and we've got some of our meatier young people. Well, they'll hit that buffet hard. I mean, they body slam the thing. They get in there and fill their plate. Boy, they're eating everything. They got squid over here, and they got this stuff over here. Boy, their plate just piled high. We've got a few kids, though. I've always felt sorry for them. They pay their $5. And do you know what they do? They take a plate and they hustle over to the tater tots. You know what I'm talking about. And they put 3 tater tots on their plate. And then they go over to the macaroni and cheese. They get a scoop of that pale-looking stuff and they put that on their plate. And then they come back with 3 tater, and maybe they find a French fry somewhere. They put that on their plate. They come back with 3 tater tots, a French fry, and a little scoop of macaroni and cheese. And they eat that and they wonder why they're still hungry. Now, wait a minute. It's not because there's not enough provision. Because there is. You take a look at my plate. I've got a little bit of something, a little bit of everything, unless it's been moving. I've got, you know, I'll check that out first. But I've got a little bit of everything on my plate. And I look at those kids and I feel sorry for them because they have so little. And it's no wonder they leave hungry. The reason is not because there's not the supply. The reason is that they're not appropriating that supply. They're only taking just a little bit. Hey, wouldn't it be foolish if somebody left you $1 million and you had bills? Oh, preacher, I've got such high bills. Oh, I'm so glad I inherited $1 million. Wouldn't it be foolish if you kept that $1 million in the bank and still struggled off of your salary to pay those bills? Oh, preacher, things are so tight. Listen, the provision is there, but you're not writing the checks. That's the problem. He said, okay, preacher, how do I draw upon the resources of Christ? Verse number 2, through the knowledge of God. Verse number 3, through the knowledge of Him. Do you know how grace and peace can be multiplied in your life? Do you know how you can experience the all-sufficiency of Christ so that you need nothing but Him? It is through a knowledge of Him. What that is talking about is not just a head knowledge of theology, though ultimately, as you study the Bible, you'll gain that. But what it is talking about is a relationship through which all of these things flow. And I want you to understand something. Christianity, and there are folks here that may not understand this, Christianity is not your commitment to a church. It's not Christianity. Christianity is not being baptized. Christianity is not saying, well, I'm a Christian because my daddy and mommy were Christians and we went to church when I was little. Christianity is a personal, real, vital relationship with Jesus Christ. And as that relationship strengthens and deepens, it is in that relationship, and Paul over and over again used the expression in Christ, it is in that relationship that I find all of my deepest needs met, and all things that pertain to life and godliness are mine as my relationship with Christ is deepened. That is the conduit. It is an experiential knowledge of God through a relationship. Preacher, illustrate. All right, I will. How about this illustration? The friendship illustration. How many of you would say, Pastor Monty, I think I have at least one person in this world that I regard as a close friend? How many have one? Got a close friend? Okay, most of you, a couple of you do not. Those of you who do not, get with the other ones who do not after the service and go out to eat. Do something sociable, okay? Most of you would say, I have a close friend. Now, I want you to think back with me for a moment to the time of your meeting that person, okay? You met. I'm thinking of a friend of mine that's very close. He lives in Wisconsin. I remember the first time I ever met him. I was a chaplain of my literary society at Bob Jones, and this young man was part of that literary society. And I noticed that he didn't attend Sunday night church anywhere. And as the chaplain, I decided that that indicated a spiritual problem. And so I remember knocking on his dormitory room door, and I said to him, I said, Dan, I said, you need to start attending Sunday night church. You're not right with God. I was very subtle. You're not right with God unless you'll attend Sunday night church. You're coming with me. Get dressed, and we're going. And I took him to the church that I attended, Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville. And he started becoming a regular church tender. It was through that experience that I first really met him. I got to know him that way. Now watch this. In that first foundational meeting and establishment of that, what became a close friendship and now has lasted 20 years, in that first meeting, I did not have with him the relationship that I could lean upon him and ask him for something. There was an acquaintanceship had just begun, but the relationship wasn't there. Does everybody follow me on this? But later on, we became closer friends. Later on, he became my assistant pastor of my first church. Later on, we got closer and closer. So though at that initial meeting him, that juncture of just meeting him, he was just another face in the crowd. At that point, I wouldn't have asked to borrow money from him. I wouldn't do that now because he doesn't have any, but later on, as the friendship deepened, now watch, as the relationship deepened, I found that I could lean on him for more in that relationship. Understand something. The absolute same is true with the provision of God. The reason you can come to church and hear the preaching and walk out the door and not feel helped. The reason that you can hear about other people having answers to prayer, but it seems your prayers never get answered. The reason that you can walk out of here saying, there's no help for my marriage, there's no hope for my emotional state, there's no help for my loneliness. Here's the reason. The depth of your knowledge, your relationship with Jesus Christ is lacking. See, my Bible says God's provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. The problem's not the provision. The problem is my appropriation of the division, of the provision. The conduit of the provision is already given in Scripture. It is a knowledge of God. That is my relationship to Him. And as that deepens, there is an answer to everything in life. Just be honest about it. A lot of the reason that we sometimes sense that our faith fell short is because of our immaturity. It's because of our immaturity. I have seen mature Christians who walk with the Lord and who have walked with the Lord maybe for decades come to a point of crisis in their life. I mean, their life is really shaken apart. Maybe an older Christian couple who've been married for decades, and the spouse, one of the spouses, it becomes very sick and eventually dies and passes this world. And that is the most traumatic and difficult thing for this couple to face and for the individual that's left, and how that would just shake to the foundation anyone's marriage. And while there's tears and while there's sorrow and while there's great longing because of missing the individual, I've watched some Christian people mature, draw closer to the Lord, and in that moment experience a grace that they never knew was available. My first deacon chairman of my first church, I was 21 years old, he told me about his first wife. They had been married for decades, and how after a lingering illness, she slipped away into eternity. And he said, preacher, he said, I'll never forget the funeral service. I was seated right over on the left, what would be my left side of the church. And he said, I was sitting in that pew and the preacher was talking, and he said, I wasn't hearing the preacher. All I could see was the casket, and knowing my wife was in that casket, and we loved and lived together for decades, and now she would be gone forever. And he said, preacher, at that moment, he said, my heart was breaking. He said, my faith was still in Christ, but he said, my heart was breaking. And he said, at that very moment, as he said, he thought the pain could get no worse, he said, it just seemed as if something on the inside picked him up. He described it as almost like a net, like a fishnet lifting up that broken heart. And he said, in that very moment, he experienced personally the grace of God and the love of God. And he understood that in the midst of the greatest tragedy he could ever face, that everything would be okay because God Himself was in control. Wow. That's an example of all things available because a man built for decades a relationship with Christ. Do you know, I've seen what is the tragedy. I've seen other Christian people shaken just a little bit. A little bump in the road. A stubbing of their toe, as it were. Nothing major. And compared to what other people are facing, incredibly minor. And it's not life-threatening. And it's not the destruction of their home or their family or their marriage. And it's just a little tiny thing. And they say, oh, preacher, if God were really there, He wouldn't have let that happen. God's promised that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But if I'm not walking with Him in a real relationship, then as soon as the little bump in the road comes, I'll jettison my faith because I won't feel like it met my needs. Look this way, please. That Bible's the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the answer to your marriage. He's the answer to your emotional needs. He's the answer to your depression. He's the answer to your loneliness. He's the answer to your financial needs. Oh, preacher, all things, but why am I facing all this? Could it not be because you're not having that close relationship where the conduit is open and all things flow? Let me give you an example. I was praying when I was young that the Lord would lead me to the right woman to marry. I had to make that really a matter of prayer, because by looking at me, you can tell it had to be a miracle. I had dated different girls at college, but none of them were the right ones. Some of the ones that I thought were right, they didn't think I was right. Honestly, I always felt sorry for those girls that turned their back on this opportunity, you know. But they've had to pay a high price down through life. But I'll never forget praying and asking God. And then the day came that I actually met Kelly, and we spent a little bit of time together, just kind of our first time ever spending together through a series of circumstances, not more than a couple hours. And I remember going to bed that night and kneeling down by my bedside and saying, "Lord, tonight I've met the girl that I want to marry." Now, that's exactly how it happened. "Tonight I've met the girl that I want to marry." Do you know, I didn't get up the next day and call her on the phone and say, "Hey, I had a revelation." You know, that kind of weirdness will drive a girl off, fellas. Some of you preacher boys need to understand that. Smart girls will run the other way. You start pulling. But I did ask her out, and we started to go out. Funny thing happened that first date. It was the day Hurricane Hugo hit the Carolinas, and so there were no restaurants open. We drove 2.5 hours to find a restaurant that was open. This is awful, I confess it. The cash machines were all down. ATM machines were all down. I had no cash. She had to pay for our first date. And now, I did write her a check. I did write her a check to pay her back for that. By the way, I still have that canceled check. Not kept as a souvenir, but kept because I keep all my canceled checks. And at any rate, it was in those times when we were just getting acquainted. Watch this. There was no demands placed on this relationship. Do you all remember this? But as the relationship deepened and blossomed into love, our dependence upon one another grew. And that dependence upon one another culminated in marriage. And now we have a lifetime together spent meeting each other's needs. And in marriage, I found all I need in her, watch this, because of the depth of the relationship. Does everyone understand where I'm going with this? Part of the reason, if you're not experiencing all things met in Jesus Christ, is because your relationship with Him is very surface. And you're very quick to get angry at Him if things don't go your way. And you're very quick to say, "Well, if God was really in control, da 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 da." And you're very quick to want to play God according to your own rationale. What am I saying? I'm saying this. All I need is in Jesus Christ. The provision is all there. The buffet, as it were, is spread. There's a big plate of grace. I can get all I need. There's a big part of strength, a big bowl of strength. I can take all of that that I need. There's a big bowl of God's power, and I can take all of that that I need. The buffet is spread, and all things have been given to the church. My problem is my appropriating it through a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a couple questions, and I'm done. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior? I'm not talking about knowing the inside of a church or knowing a baptistry tank or having been sprinkled as an infant. I'm talking about, do you really know Him in a personal and real relationship? That's number one. And the number two, if you do, if you are a Christian, how deep is that relationship? Is it so deep that no matter what storms may come, you will cling to the rock who is your salvation? Or is it so weak that the minute you hit a bump in the road, you question and wonder and accuse God? Watch this. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All sufficiency is found in Jesus. My appropriation of that is a knowledge of Him, a personal relationship that views every circumstance of life as allowed by God and therefore a reason, and every trial as an opportunity for God to show His grace in my life, because I really know Him. He's given us all things. Let's make sure we know Him deeply to appropriate the things that God has given. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this truth. Lord, it is in many ways a simple truth, but Father, profound in that we can only know our needs fully met as the relationship deepens. And Father, when the relationship is right, we understand that nothing enters our life that you cannot handle, that nothing comes by accident. And Father, we run to you in those times of trial and storm and need. And Father, no matter how badly we hurt, we always find grace that is sufficient. We always find peace and grace that is multiplied, overflowing to meet the need. Father, I pray you take the simple truth and help us, Lord. There may be some here that are not Christians today. They don't have a personal relationship with you. I pray that today they would come to trust you as their Savior. Father, that they would make that definite decision to receive Christ, to place their faith in Him. For those of us who know you, Lord, help us to understand that all things, the provision for everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been made. And why we fall short is our appropriation of that. Father, help us to deepen our walk with Thee. Bless these thoughts, we pray. Let's stand together, everyone standing.